वाहेगुरु जी का खालसा, वाहेगुरु जी की फतेह। फतेह
वाहगुरु का खालसा, वाहगुरु जी की फतेह।
जी, फतेह। सर, वेल, आफ्टर अ होल, यू कैन से 2-3 days ऑफ बीइंग सफोकेटेड बाय फिफ्थ वेव फेमिनिस्ट्स, वी आर बैक अगेन।
We're back again.
We're back again, even though there is that a significant amount of threats ranging from we will murder you to all the way to the usual, you know, we will tell your mothers your incels or whatever the hell buzzwords that come up. But then, you know, contrary to popular expectations, there was a lot of sport of outpouring, especially now, you know, because in America, because the Democrats are failing, all this leftism, liberalism, wokeism is dying out. They're actually beginning to become victims of cancel culture themselves. So now a lot of men are actually beginning to speak out against this moral depravity that has afflicted our woman. Before we begin this episode, two things. I'm really thankful to the people who are continually donating. Hell, after that meme, the amount went up, which was unexpected. But secondly, it's high time that men start speaking out, because the fifth waivers aren't like those women who laid down their lives in the past. Just before we start, have you heard the Sakhi of Bibi Deep Kaur?
I have heard, but for the listeners, go on.
Okay, so what's actually happened is that there was an article written last night, and it's put up on our Substack, and this article makes a what I believe to be a really great argument, and a lot of other people believe it to be an argument, because this actually came to us from our group chats, which people usually invite us to. And there was a group chat in particular where we have people all the way, you know, girls and boys ranging from India to the UK and wherever. And one of the arguments that was made is, well, if we take the my body, my choice feminist argument to be a, you know, almost a semi-divine right, like my, you know, my body, my choice, that's a right, you can't question it, okay? It's usually in the context of abortions.
Usually, yes.
Right, so outside a exigency or a urgency or emergency, outside those factors, I mean, obviously in those factors, you're going to have to ask, outside those factors, shouldn't it be that if it's my body, my choice, that's applicable to all situations, then shouldn't the male have my money, my choice as well reserved for him? Because if the male is contributing 50% of the cells, or, you know, however much it is, he's still contributing something to form the child within the woman's womb, then if he gets no say over that child's life, to pay any financial or provide any emotional support to the mother in the first place.
Well, I have to quote Dave Chappelle here. Say, if you can murder this baby, he used a different word, I can at least abandon him.
You know, private schools really took off. They were basically following a government-induced curriculum. However, the you know, the government of the states, which was pretty much white dominated, and I'm not saying anything about white supremacy here, so get your woke pants up and tie them and fuck off. What basically happened was they came up with this little narrative that Native Americans had no property rights, right? And they began to argue in their textbooks on the virtue of utopian societies that, you know, Native Americans had no property rights, so they had no conflicts like the white men had, which was basically ignoring 80% of Native American history prior to the white men coming anyway. So when the Native American rights movements, this repossession, this territorial repossession movement took off among them in the late 60s to 70s to the 80s until the 90s, guess who were their worst enemies?
I have to guess, but tell me.
The kids, their own kids, who were brought up in these schools learning that Native Americans had no property right. So, similarly, I mean, the liberal dynamics and establishments don't care if you're Sikhs as long as we change Sikhi for them. If they can make you hate yourself and hate your heritage enough, they can make you hate your religion enough to slowly change it, and you wouldn't even know what you're doing. There is this article on Core Life. I understand it's written by a trans woman, a man becoming a woman called Manmeet. And you read it, Manmeet is from the Punjab, and Manmeet claims that, you know, caste or Jat tribe, I know you're a Jat, and that basically all Jats are, if I remember correctly, rapists, oppressors, and genociders. And they cite an Ambedkarite who claims that is a that it is a cultural rite of passage for Jat boys to rape Dalit women before they become men. You are a Jat. We have a lot of Jat listeners. Can anyone claim how true this is, that you have to rape a Dalit woman before becoming men?
Bro, forget about this thing. If I talked shit about any woman, my own father would smack me.
Right. And yeah, woman, not fifth wave feminists. Let's clarify that.
Yeah, a woman who's not identifying as, I don't know, a lazy cloud or something.
Right. So what we need to understand is these regressive ideologies like fifth wave feminism, BLM, or, you know, all this down with the patriarchy, down with white supremacy nonsense. Yeah, they're just like what happened to the Native Americans. On the onset, on the outset, they look pretty damn good. They look, you know, pretty utopian, pretty paradisical. Once you get to the root of them, you realize they're more venomous than anything you have ever encountered in your life. And when such regression starts entering your religious spheres, you might as well, you know, shut the curtains and prepare to die. This is exactly what happened to the Romans with Christianity, with the tribals coming in, with their pseudo-intellectuals, and imbibing actually this era of guilt. And similarly, this is exactly what is happening with Sikhs today in the West, and they're not unable to realize this. But the thing is, let's just remember, I mean, if you look at the Sakhi of Bibi Deep Kaur, at least, you know, and this is one of the comments we received just now on the Substack article, is that a Muslim man tried touching Bibi Deep Kaur, you know, and she just turned around and killed him straight away for it. Would she really tolerate her sisters giving it out for free in today's time and then allow them to call themselves her descendants?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And the thing is that in Punjab, the Sikh woman who died for the Panth, for the faith, they were in a minority, but at the end of the day, their sacrifices were never done for you to come along with Boover's or Ferdinand's ideologies and start saying that to establish their moral superiority, women have to commit the same degeneracy as the most predatory of males, and you really can't judge a woman for that, you know? So, I mean, you can't sacrifice your langa for a day and you expect to be given the same respect as those who sacrifice their lives forever. You know, massive difference.
Okay, that's true. But let me tell you something. I'm paraphrasing, but there's a saying in Pakistan that, this is from back in the days, that new converts to Islam prayed seven times a day instead of the normal five, yeah?
Right.
So that's to say, if you have adopted a new quote-unquote identity, or you have taken up a new ideology, you'll be much more fanatic than the people who grew up with it.
Right, obviously.
Yeah. So these people now, as you claim, this individual who claims to be a Jat, and they say that all Jats are this and that, they have taken up a new ideology, yeah? And now they have to be fanatic in it. And fanaticism means hating what they hate or what they oppose or what they stand against.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So they have painted all of us as rapists, degenerates, evil in human body.
Yep. Another thing you got to remember is, like, I find it pretty funny, but also pretty insulting when they claim that the gurus sacrificed their lives. I mean, this is December. All of them are up in a furry that the gurus sacrificed their lives for the oppressed, and now we are not respecting the trans, the queer, the Dalits, or whatever else they're bringing along. Well, I mean, what's stopping them from fighting for their own rights? I mean, if the gurus and the Sikhs could fight for their own rights, what's stopping them from fighting for their own rights?
Okay, you need to differentiate here. The very first things any utopian ideology would do is change the definitions here. What exactly is a right?
Well, according to them, a right is something that they're innately born with. Basically, you need to tolerate whatever it is they judge to be a right in today's time or in the future, or what they've judged to be a right in the past. So basically, their perspective is a right. It has to be their right, but it also has to be your right. Your perspective is not a right, especially if it runs antithetical to whatever it is they are actually saying.
Okay. You could say that, can you say that my needs and wants can be translated into rights?
Fifty-fifty.
Okay, let me put it in this way, since we just mentioned the United States. You have a right to free speech.
Right.
Do you have a right to printing press? I have a right to speech in the government, must give me a printing press. You have the Second Amendment, right to keep and bear arms. Does the government give you money to buy a gun?
No.
So where is the line that you feel that you should be entitled to something or you deserve something? Is that necessarily your right?
No.
Where do you draw the line? Do I, as a parent, have the right to keep my child protected or away from your ideology? Do I have the right?
Definitely.
Do I have the right to create a world where your ideology is totally absent? The world might be my own home.
Obviously you do. I mean, if you look at Sikhs, right? I'm just going to say this out loud and clear. They're idiots in the name of Paichara. Like, let me tell you something. Ankur Narula and his band of Christian fanatics are going throughout Punjab at the moment, where every Gurdwara that is celebrating Sahib Jade's Shidi, and they're deliberately putting on Punjabi songs and dancing in front of it. They've got that stupid woman, what's her name? The one who had the Muslim husband who slapped her and kicked her out. That lady who's always causing shit in Bollywood. You know, the ugly one, the one who looks like Michael Jackson. Come on, you should know her. She's always causing shit in Bollywood. No one likes her.
Well, you use the word ugly. I have a thousand faces in my mind right now.
You know, she's the one who was having an affair with Ram Rahim. Not Honey Preet, but the other one.
Bro, I haven't got a clue. Sorry. I don't read about these things.
Okay, we'll remember her name soon enough. Her, Sunil Shetty. I mean, these celebrities have been paid. So basically what's happening is the other ones, the minor groups of these Christians are going in front of every Gurdwara, putting on Bhangra songs and having dances, trying to antagonize Sikhs. Who let these people into Punjab? Our lot in the name of Paichara, right? We let them into our spaces. We let Muslims into our spaces to do namaj. And every Friday you should go and hear the Ladhiana imams address on what should be happening to infidels, all non-Muslims in Punjab. I dare anyone who's listening to go to Punjab, to Ludhiana every Friday and hear what he's actually saying should be happening, right? We let, you know, Hindu fanatics into Punjab in the name of Paichara, and look what ultimately happened over the last 80 years. So all we have been doing is destroying the sacred, the safe spaces for our own philosophy, our own belief. Getting back to what you said, we have every damn right to reject in our worlds any ideology which we believe is antithetical to our philosophy, our faith, our beliefs. Unfortunately, 90% of Sikhs believe that it would be a massive sin if we were to stop that, because Kudrat ke sab bande and Paichara and all religions and ideologies lead to God.
All of them, sure.
100%. I mean, there's a Shabad in Gurbani. We will get it later, which says that two paths can lead to Waheguru if you understand how they intermingle, the path of Maya and the path of Gyan. The English translation is all paths lead to God. The idiots who actually post it up on social media, who claim they know Gurmukhi, who claim they know Punjabi, always seem to miss out the fact it says though and not all. And it's done for nothing else than to impress the world and say that somehow we are different than you because we are bigger idiots than you.
Damn.
Right. So now getting to the main gist of this was the battles of Guru Gobind Singh Ji, the wars he fought in his life. None of them were for Bhai Jara or all this regressive bullshit that America has induced into all spheres.
I have a different perspective on this one. I think I asked this question before. How many wars did Guru Sahib fought for the oppressed?
How many wars he participated? 22 to 23.
But how many wars did he fight for the oppressed?
See, here's a interesting Sakhi that has been narrated. It's found in the ancient. One day, all the lower castes came to the Guru. Right? I mean, you're a Jat. The Jats, the Senis, the Rajputs, all the, and even a few Rangars, they were some of the first converts to Sikhi under Guru Gobind Singh Ji. Because the thing is, the martial communities are always practical. They're looking for a practical way of life. And this is what Professor James Lewis actually said once in an interview when MacLeod and all these Snathan bullshitters were attacking Sikhi back in the 90s. So they made a fake manuscript of the Guru Granth Sahib. They tried selling off as the original Guru Granth Sahib to claim Guru Arjan Dev Ji had changed all the words of Guru Nanak. So this is what Professor James Lewis said, is that you look at Christianity, you look at Islam. Okay, so Christianity is the faith of the urban elite, right? Based on their theological outpourings, their narratives, this is a faith for someone who's got a lot of time on their hands, basically civilizational decay. So Islam is a faith for, okay, let's just use a euphemism down here, aggrandizers, right? People who have no morals and who have to conceal their lack of morality by claiming it's from, you know, divine origin, whatever their divine book says. Hinduism, now you're getting into a massive urban sophistication that it's a faith for people who are like, you know, you can drugged and out of it either way. I'm just paraphrasing here. Sikhi is the faith for the common working man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, today we are not going out to convert people, but, you know, I've been actually talking to a Hindu Jat on Twitter. They're interested in converting to Sikhi, the whole family. And one thing that's been coming over and over and over again is that the concept of dying for faith, family, freedom, that your kids are your greatest asset in life. And he was saying that in Sikhi, you really don't need anything else to live a religious life than what you already have, right? You might say your divine or evolutionary faculties. And so Sikhi is the simplistic faith of, you know, the common person, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, this is what compelled many of the agrarian, the agricultural, the, you know, all the labor and the menial communities to convert to Sikhi. Right, who were always seen as Shudras. I mean, Jats were always seen as subhuman because they never entered the caste system. And
yeah, we had some other habits as well.
Oh, so some of them did.
Oh, we had some other habits like drinking alcohol, eating meat, widow remarriage, observance of ancestor worship instead of worshipping the gods.
Right. So Yeah, technically there must have been a few similarities, but they weren't enough to really hold Juts back, or Juts into the Hindu system. So basically, Sikhi is the common man's faith, and what happened one day was that the lower castes, because there were those lower castes who were ready to fight for themselves, and when we refer to the Shudras, the term Dalit is very obfuscating, very confounding, because the Shudras were always lower than the Dalits. Right.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, and you can read about this, what Ambedkar and the others did was using the label of Harijan, of Dalit, all these labels, they actually took over the rights of the Shudras and argued that the lower castes were low in the caste system, but they had no caste among themselves. Whereas in reality, there was a massive caste hierarchy among the so-called lower castes as well, and Shudras were at the bottom of the rung. So by misappropriating the Shudra struggle for liberty from caste, Ambedkar and the others actually took over their movement and portrayed themselves as professional victims, which has now come to the point that whenever in India we talk about Dalits, we're talking about the higher echelons of the lower castes, but never about those castes which have been silenced and which are at the entry point of the caste system, but not within the caste system. Right? So during the Guru's times, the boundary lines were much more definitive, much more clearer, and the upper echelons of the lower castes approached Guru Gobind Singh Ji one day and they said, "Can you please send over a whole detachment of your Singhs to our villages to save us from the Rangars and the Rajputs?" And the Guru was sitting there watching his Singhs fight, just combat practice. And the Guru got up and he called over some of his Singhs and he said, "You know what? Beat the living crap out of them and take them to the barracks." And that's exactly what the Singhs did. And after a while, he told them, "Okay, so arm them with wooden staffs, start training them how to fight, start hitting them, start training them how to ride horses, basically give them what we would call for a few weeks in the Sikh." And after a while, these obviously when you're imprisoned like that, you're gonna call your detainer a tyrant, and that's what the lower caste leadership was calling the guru, until one day the guru finally called them over, freed them, and said that, "This lifestyle I forced you to go through, my Sikhs go through that lifestyle without any payment from me, without any remuneration from me. There is no family benefit if they die fighting in battle. I have nothing to give them other than the liberty Guru Nanak envisioned for the world. If they are able to do it, from all different stratas of caste, if they're prepared to lay down their lives for their liberty, what is stopping you guys from doing the same? Why are you relying on others?"
A very important statement.
Right? What is stopping you? That's what the guru asked. What is essentially stopping you? And you see the same in those 22 to 23 battles. They were fought for Sikh survival and Sikh supremacy, but they were never fought for anyone else. Now, of course, there might be a few exceptions where the guru might have allied with the Rajputs, but you could see that that was more or less against a common enemy and to learn Rajput tactics, which were basically used against Rajputs himself. One of the battles which happened was Bhim Chand had an alliance with the guru, went back on his word, didn't involve him in negotiations. And the guru basically plundered Bhim Chand's territories as well. Right? Let us look at another example. Right? Let us look at another example. Bahadur Shah. Many of these idiots will tell us, "Well, hey, you guys aren't allowing religious freedom, but Guru Gobind Singh Ji went and helped a Muslim." Now, what they're ignoring is the last part of what happened in this relationship. The guru helped Bahadur Shah, brought time for himself, but at the same time, he was training a military force to be able to help whoever would lead them back to the Punjab. It was ultimately Baba Banda Singh brother who actually led them into the Punjab, but the guru was more than prepared. This was what was actually related to the Akalis back in the late 40s, early 50s when they dissolved the Akali Dal and Joint Congress in Punjab. You remember that from history?
Yep, that was quite common, man.
Right. Massive moment of shame for Sikhs that their own political party decided to do that, and they were told that Guru Gobind Singh Ji never dissolved his autonomy when helping Bahadur Shah. He was always ready for round two, which was that Bahadur Shah was going to betray him, and that was exactly what the Guru was prepared for. So to land all this by Chara Tent and say that, hey, the Guru helped Bahadur Shah, well, why are you ignoring the last part of that statement? Why are you of that history?
It's convenient.
It's convenient today because really the regressive ideologies they have, all they say is that Sikhs are going to die for others. We're going to die for Kale, we're going to die for Khosrae, we're going to die for Palestine. Yeah, try getting a Gurdwara in Palestine.
Try wearing shorts in Palestine, bro.
And the people who claim to be Sikhs and then they're pushing all this other nonsense about gender, I mean, they're the ones arguing for Palestine. Yeah, if you were to go and fight for Palestine or even visit Palestine, they would just throw you off from the top of a building.
There is some other problem at hand here. I think it's more of a social problem.
Right.
People take hard positions without conviction and then put the burden on you to prove them wrong.
Oh, definitely, and this is what you see with the Sanatani lot and the Muslims when they try, demeaning Guru Gobind Singh. Do you see that all the time with them? But you see it in our people as well. Now, if you look at Sikhi, here's the thing which the Singh Sabha used to argue: would you prefer a so-called son of God moaning like a coward on the cross, despite knowing he would be resurrected after 3 days, according to their scriptures, or would you prefer a god, a son of God, according, obviously to the Vachitra Natak, would you prefer such a son of God who sacrificed his sons and finally himself, knowing that there was no coming back after death, for to show you how to live a life of liberty? What would you prefer?
How much money are you giving me?
Oh, well, yeah, basically the rice bag phenomena. But any common man, anyone with common sense knows that there is no point in a god coming down to earth or a divine deity coming down to earth or a divine spirit if they're only going to use their powers and make it easy for themselves, right? If some divine, if a divinely, if a divine origin entity is to come to our sphere of existence, they have to go through the daily trials and tribulations which we confront on a daily basis. Otherwise, there is no use for them to come down and show us how to live. Right? So basically, at the end of the day, to claim that the gurus actually went out and fought for the oppressed, hell no, they never did that. They actually showed the oppressed how to fight for themselves. If the Sikhs were able to do it, why not others? And you can see from the guru's life that what they were fighting for, what Guru Gobind Singh Ji was fighting for, was Sikh supremacy and Sikh dominance, the Sikh way of life, the Sikh way of political, social, and religious control. It wasn't that, hey, we're going to secularize the subcontinent. And unfortunately, what our lot is doing now, even with these Khalistan referendum, individuals, there is no Khalsa in their Khalistan. Have you noticed that?
Sorry, say it again.
There is no Khalsa in their Khalistan.
Oh, yes, of course, of course.
Right? There never was a Khalsa in their Khalistan. It's only India 2.0 without Nehru. That's what their Khalistan is. That's their main aim, to get a India, a better India. This is why they're saying that in Khalistan there would be no minority persecution, everyone would be allowed to follow their religion. That is the truth in India. Do you really think that worked out well on both sides of the border?
Well, the evidence is there for you to see. I think I read some posts online, like they say that Khalistan, whatever that state could be or going to be, would have no borders, open borders. That anybody who's oppressed from all over the world can come under the shelter of the Khalsa.
How stupid do you think they actually are at this stage?
But they're not stupid. Well, they are kind of, but they are so convinced in their own personal beliefs that they would actually enforce them onto you.
And this is where they're actually beginning to ignore history. You know, when they give this history that Guru Gobind Singh Ji fought for the oppressed, Guru Gobind Singh Ji had open borders. Guru Gobind Singh Ji did not have open borders. There are many Sakhis. You know, Anandapur had clear defined borders. You entered those borders, they sent you to hell straight away.
Yep.
Right? They sent you to hell straight away. No matter how oppressed you were, or no matter what your issue was, they sent you to hell straight away. Basically, you had to learn to stand up for yourself. They didn't have this open door via the next UK type policy of letting refugees in. They were closeted, but they were also aggressive and fierce in defending their territories. You need physical territory to be able to consolidate your gains and, you know, control your people. So all this narrative, this woke narrative, does is demean the sacrifices of the gurus. Now, you look at the list of all these battles. Most of them would have been for preserving Sikh territory against the Rajputs, the early initial battles.
Yeah, and protecting another person. Yeah.
Right? And then you look at the flip side, which is the later battles. They came for the preservation of Sikhi, but at the same time to acquire Sikh territory. I mean, the guru evacuating Anandapur, has anyone actually considered what his plan was after evacuating Anandapur, where he was actually heading towards?
Well, nobody has. Absolutely nobody has.
Right.
This is the shade the after, yeah.
Right. Yep.
All they are concerned about, my friends went to Sirhan today. I'll go some other day, maybe tomorrow. Bro, all the Ragidadis and Pracharak are concerned about is emotionally blackmailing you. That's it.
Right.
Nobody is there to explain that what exactly was in the mind of Guru Sahib, what the plan was, why did they choose to evacuate Anandapur Sahib, why did they choose to not make a last stand over there in an area they knew, in an area they grew up in, and in an area they had to support, where all the Sikhs knew that where the Guru was at Anandapur Sahib. Nobody talks
Exactly.
about that. Nobody talks about that.
And that's where we fail. That's where we fail. The passion, the emotion, yeah, that's necessary, but where's the strategy? Where is the tactical plan? I believe it was maybe Kushwant Singh who actually theorized that the guru's plan was basically to head out of Punjab at the time, consolidate the Sikhs, and then come back. Because Guru Tegh Bahadur's eastern tours, he actually, the Ahoms who were fighting against the Mughals, they actually had a contingent of Sikh troops helping them, right? So there was an armed presence in the east.
True.
Right? There were Sikh armed contingents all over the subcontinent outside Punjab. The plan, it seemed, was to go outside Punjab, start gathering them, start destroying Mughal supremacy outside Punjab, and then come back into Punjab and cause even more chaos. It would have been controlled from the Guru side. So there was a plan here. However, they had to resort to plan B, C, and D, obviously, after what happened at Sirsa. But here's the thing. Chinta taki kijiye jo anhoni hoy, only worry about that what you can control, not what you can't control. The guru responded to the factors, and these are the same factors which a common man would confront in their life. The guru did the same to show us how best to resolve these issues as they crop up along your life. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up hope. Don't concede on your beliefs. And that's exactly what happened in all these battles. You see this one underlying structure, which is don't give up on your beliefs. Always fight for the supremacy and domination of your beliefs. Good men must fight to control society. There is no point in you being good if you're just going to stay in your home like a fucking hermaphrodite. You have to fight to dominate politically, socially, religiously. You have to fight to become dominant totally in whichever environment you find yourself in, and then reshape it to your vision. That is your mission. Otherwise, if you say, hey, I'm just a good guy, yeah, there's no point in you being a good guy if you can't actually implement that good all around you under your control. This is what I find really funny when they say Sikhs only fight in defense. So, what happens if the guy knocks you out with the first blow?
You're talking about common sense, bro. That's forbidden.
Definitely. And most of these, even if these battles were in defense, right? The ideal was in defense, but the practicality was always a bit of a Sikh offense at the same time. There was always that a bit of a Sikh tactic to wind them up, make them aggressive and angry, and then let them come forward and walk into a Sikh trap. Otherwise, what else were you going to do in a minority?
I don't have a straight answer for that, bro. Sorry.
And this is war. This is battle. This isn't your average walk in the park sort of shit where they say, hey, the guru fought for feminism, the guru fought for democracy. That was Craig Appears when Tadriya, when I made that statement, the guru fought for democracy. And I was thinking, what's wrong with you, man? The guru never fought for democracy or anything like that. These terms we brandish about like egalitarianism, equality, they had a different meaning when the authors who used them actually wrote their texts. Today, they have a very different meaning, which is not always going to be positive. The end result of these battles was that it was always for Sikh dominance. Now, what happened when Suchananda asked the Sahibzades, what will you do if we release you? The younger Sahibzades. And they said, we will go out into the jungles, we will find other Sikhs, we will continue our training in war. And then we will gather our armies, we will ride to battle and smash the faces of people like you and your emperor and establish our own supremacy.
Very important statement.
Yeah, very important statement. I don't hear them actually saying, hey, we're going to establish a utopia for the oppressed, because they knew the oppressed have to stand up for themselves, they have to fight for themselves. This is the underlying structure of the gurus. Warfare, the oppressed always have to stand up for themselves. And Sikhs, if Sikhs are able to do it, why the hell aren't you able to do it? But
How best
here's
you
the
have to be before you start fighting for yourself?
thing. Definitely, and that ties in with my next point. Are you actually oppressed or are you just playing the victim card?
Well, victimhood is massively rewarded in today's world. That's true. You just have to play victim and all your sins are forgiven.
Right. If you look at it, if you look at the life of Bhai Sukha Singh, right, his wife killed his daughter. If you're going to argue that women are innately divine because they're women, you have to come to this conclusion that that's a lie. The same criteria applies for the divinity of womanhood as it does for men, which is it is what you do in life which decides whether you're divine or not, not the gender you're born in, right? How many people from Sukha Singh's village, which was basically a village of low caste Tarkhans, how many people do you think actually converted to Sikhi alongside him?
I would say not many.
No one except him. And they actually kicked him out.
Expected.
Right? When they say that elite caste Jat Sikh. Let me. Sexual Sikh men prevented Ambedkar from converting to Sikhi. Right?
Yeah, that's a story that never dies, man.
That never does. Does it actually ever make sense to you?
Well, to anybody who supports that claim that somehow Sikh leaders or some Sikhs prevented Ambedkar from converting to Sikhi, I have what only one question for them. Do you need anybody's permission to convert to any religion?
Myth crops up when the Akalis have lost elections.
Well, converting to Sikhi, was it his personal decision or was it a political decision? That's where you have to now think about these things. Okay, if we claim that there were like 40 million with him or something.
The numbers seem overblowing, way overblowing.
Oh, okay, let's say 4 million, yeah?
Okay.
If the 4 million are just waiting for your decision to convert to Sikhi or not, then how good of a Sikh could they be?
That's an interesting point. That's a really interesting point.
You gave an example of a Hindu Jat who wants to convert to Sikhi, yeah?
Yep.
Are they waiting for a community leader to convert to Sikhi first?
No, definitely not.
So there you go. Let's talk about this. If you really want to play a sport, do you need a permission of a club or something?
No.
I'm learning French. Do I need the permission of French embassy? I want to learn a language. Please give me a written permission.
No.
So,
And you know the unfortunate thing? The unfortunate thing is that our people take that regressive bullshit and push it, that these are the people Guru Gobind Singh Ji fought for. This is what I never understand. It seems that first, no one knew about transgenders, but suddenly Guru Gobind Singh Ji fought for the transgenders at the Battle of Jampore. Guru Gobind Singh Ji fought for the blacks. Guru Gobind Singh Ji fought for the Palestinians. So that was a funny one. That if you're you can't be a Sikh if you don't support Palestine. And people actually, it was another feminist. No correlation, I don't know. And people had these memes of, you know, the Sikh Rehat Maryada being cancelled out. This is not a Sikh. You only have to support Palestine to be a Sikh. The joke was massive. Vaisakhi 1698, Guru Gobind Singh Ji never said, "Give me your head." He said, "Give Palestine your head." Right? Every fucking latest degeneracy has to be pushed under the narrative that this is who Guru Gobind Singh Ji fought for. He fought for none of that bullshit. I mean, if Guru Gobind Singh Ji was alive today, do you really think he would be dispatching jathas of Sikhs to go fight in Palestine?
Absolutely not. Let me give you another example. They had this so-called anti-fascist action in America.
The
So,
Antifa clowns.
yeah, and I think also in Europe and some. They claim that they are the rightful descendants of all the American veterans who fought in the World Wars and even in the Civil War. That they were also anti-fascist, and so are we. So we are their direct descendants. We are the correct ones.
Yeah, this despite their grandfathers lying that they have asthma to get out of service.
That's the thing. If something exists, people like to link themselves with it in order to elevate their status. Their own status.
Exactly, that's exactly right. And we have been played. We have been played massively throughout our history. Hey, your gurus died for the Hindus. And we were like, yep, damn right they did. What did that get us? After that, now we have started down another track. And that's also going to net us something like a genocide along the line as well, if we don't get our wits about us. Now, coming back to the whole war issue. See, many people would think that you should be they would actually advise that you actually detail these battles in detail. Well, the thing is that, you know, you can look online and see why Guru Gobind Singh Ji fought, what the context was. But the underlying purpose of these battles has to be brought out over and over again. They were for Sikh dominance, Sikh supremacy. See, Guru Nanak had a vision. If Guru Nanak didn't have a vision, there would be no need for Sikhi. He had a vision. And this is what his successors worked towards implementing. And the final thing that was left was the socio-political and the religio-political implementation of that vision, how it would succeed. And Khalsa Raj wasn't going to be utopia. This is what Guru Gobind Singh Ji showed. If you had Khalsa Raj, you would be fighting to expand it, but you would also be fighting to defend it. This is what had to happen. This was what he was establishing with those battles. And you couldn't afford to waste your lives for people who weren't ready to lay down their lives for their own liberty.
True.
Right? I mean, just think about it. When they say that Guru Gobind Singh Ji sent jathas to free Ram Mandir, right? That's an interesting one. And they say that the guru,
Never heard of it.
there is that myth that the guru sent jathas and they succeeded in freeing Ram Mandir. We find no mention of this anywhere. In
Well, as
fact,
more and more time passes, you have more myths coming up, yeah?
right? In fact, if they succeeded, let's just say, in fact, the guru succeeded, that is true. Why is it that the archaeological surveys only found, what we might call Sanatan architecture evidence predating Babur, but not from Aurangzeb's time? Because this is when it's alleged to have happened. If they freed it, they would surely have built something there, left a mark there. Why was no evidence of this ever found?
Not even that, that insinuate that there was only one Ram Mandir, and all the others, if they existed, were free.
Actually, I mean, I visited Ayodhya once, and this was something I noticed. Every Mandir you went into, everyone claimed to be the original one. And whenever I asked them, so what happened up there on the hill? And they said, that's just political bullshit.
That's been the pattern, because if there are more than one temple in the village, yeah, they renamed the other one as the Puratan temple.
Right.
My Brahmin friend told me. He said, that's the way it works. Because the older the temple is, the more authority you have.
That's actually a good point. But unfortunately, if you have that self-sacrificing bug, that insidious, that venomous, that impractical self-sacrificing bug like the Sikhs, are you really going to stand for that bullshit? Like your own Puratan Gurdwara, you're going to say that isn't a Puratan Gurdwara. I'm just waiting for the day they start apologizing to the descendants of the Mughals for what our ancestors did to them.
We are both from Jalandhar, and you know what happened to Jalandhar Pathans?
Yep, 100%. So I'm just waiting for the day when they go and start, bowing down to them and saying, oh, we are sorry, and have all this heroic apologetic bullshit coming up. Think about it. If they can make you hate your religion enough to change it, I mean, the first thing is, if you consider it, fifth wave feminism, BLM, liberalism, all Sikhs who spot this, even the Palestine thing, their loyalty to Sikhi is secondary to their loyalty to whatever is the cause that has ideologically captured them in the first place, right?
They can't
compare themselves to the Guru's warriors, because their loyalty was only to Sikhi.
Bro, you made a very, very important point. Let's talk about this.
Right.
In my observation, what they have been through, the whatever the school system in whatever country they live in, they are the right products of that education system.
Yep.
Their loyalty primarily is to the current thing in that country and in that culture. Their loyalty to Sikhi is secondary. They try to link up Sikhi to that, whatever that moment, whatever that belief is. That if Guru Sahib were here, he would support us. He would do this.
What's the point? What do they get out of it?
Bro, social validation. They feel like they're doing something. Or maybe they will feel like the ancestors, they fought for something. I'm fighting for something. So we are basically the same.
It's a shit show. But because you've made that point, here is something we received on Twitter. It's from actually a follower. He's a new follower, but he's not a Sikh. He's actually working towards Sikhi. He's going to keep his identity anonymous. Being a Hindu Jat, one thing I've realized to the fullest is the most important thing for my identity, be it my caste or religion, it's just an example, don't shoot the messenger, is the control over my geography. Rest all is bullshit. The indoctrination happens in areas not controlled by you because your children want to fit in. Exactly.
Good point.
Right, and that ties in with what you're saying about they spot the latest trend in their country to fit in. It's almost like trying to seek validation to validate you are who you are because they're not comfortable in their skin. See, what I'm saying is, you have the dari, you have the case, you have the Rome, you have the star because your family is compelling you to do it. And when you go outside, how do you explain it to someone that this is what I have? Well, I'm a Sikh. Okay, so who's a Sikh? And you're trying to balance it up. I've seen this many times on social media, the comments. Well, I didn't want to say something which will infuriate white people against the Sikh religion. You just have to start sporting whatever latest guilt trend they sport, it might be LGBTQ or anything, and you will say that, you know, obviously the Western world equality at the moment, the delusional pursuit of equality, you're going to say, well, I'm a Sikh and we believe in equality. Equality for you, equality for you, equality for you, equality for everyone to come and do a free for all on me as well.
Some people do believe that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You can't use the Kirpan to defend yourself. You have to use it to defend others only.
Yep, always others only. Always put others before you.
See,
don't help your own brothers, help people 10,000 miles away who hate you.
I actually laugh when I see all of Pannu's Khalistanis online making these comments that, hey, we're like the lions who control the land while being few in number, especially over the Christian conversion thing. What a good way of saying, hey, we have fucking given up hope. We can't do any prachar anymore, so let's just say that our loss is our victory.
You know what? The English people have ruled the entire world. Either they have ruled it, they influenced it, or whatever. So they have the biggest claims to be the lions. The national animal is a lion. I never heard an Englishman with a proper London accent saying, oi, mate, I'm a lion, I...
Well, they can spend
those
a few
are the
days.
People, those yeah. are the people who can genuinely claim that we are the best. We rule the entire world. Have you seen that comedy sketch? No, it's a stand-up comedy by this English comedian, the governor. What's his name? He's a bald guy.
I mean, all the Englishmen I know, unfortunately, happen to be bald.
Yeah, well, he said that name a country and I'll prove that England has defeated them. And he proves it directly or indirectly. He proves it. Al Murray is his name. Yeah, I just remembered.
Right. And yeah, you don't see as much boasting on that side as you see on our side. But the thing is, the English, I can't say for them currently, but a generation ago, they knew how much it actually cost them, what they used to build their empire, the blood and sweat they put into it, right? They never had this thing that, oh, just because we're a few in number, our country is being overrun by illegal immigration, that at the end of the day, this is somehow going to be a case of a few lions controlling the world. You know that when your numbers dwindle and the, you can say a confrontational population is within you and their number increases, you're finished. So why Sikhs aren't waking up from this, it's funny, but even more funny is when they say that the solution to this is Khalistan. So, okay, we've got Khalistan, we've got an increased population of Punjabi Christians. What exactly are you going to do to rectify the conversions?
More langar.
More langar. See, so...
The people who are currently converting to Christianity have been eating the langar for the past 500 years, yeah? No loyalty.
Yep. No loyalty. Definitely no loyalty at all. And that's the thing you've got to look. When they claim, when our lot today claim, with whatever degeneracy they push, that we are on the same plane as Guru Gobind Singh. You look at Maharaj's battles and look at our battles. Hell no. Those battles were different. They were way different to what you guys are doing. How many cases of conversions, religious conversions, do you hear at Anandpur Sahib?
Not many. I haven't heard of any.
Conversions, Sharia, and caste were forbidden.
Yep.
Right? Sharia is a fundamental cornerstone of Islam. Without Sharia, there is no Islam. Without caste, there is no Hinduism. By forbidding those, you're violating what they would call their religious rights. And where does all religions lead to God go then?
Well, you know, I've seen a picture. It's like a cartoon, yeah? It's a caricature that everybody is dancing in heaven. There's rainbows, there's rabbit, there's green grass, blue skies.
Yep.
That's what they dream of.
See? Exactly. That's what they dream of. That's what the dream is. They still haven't realized what the world is in reality. Now, on that issue, let's just ask ourselves, do you think the gurus would have tolerated someone in a burqa living in their territory?
Nope, absolutely not.
And why do you say that?
Because of the fundamental reasons behind wearing the burqa.
Okay, right. So they wouldn't have tolerated someone wearing a burqa, which is a part of their religion, right? Would they have tolerated our Sikh bibis showing their tits and their simps validating them, which is not a part of their religion?
I don't think so. Not only religious people, people would have basic common sense wouldn't tolerate that anyhow.
Right. So now, let's just look at the hypocrisy of these modern degenerates who argue that their battle is the same as the guru's battles, right? Their stance, their battle. How did the burqa come about?
I think there was a differentiation between Muslim women and non-Muslim women. So if you were wearing a burqa, you were safe from harassment. That's what the claim
Right.
is. That's what I've read.
But there's another story here. There is another story here. You know how it actually came about?
Tell me.
Muhammad's wives used to go out to the toilet at night.
Okay.
And one of his companions, one of his more horny companions, used to actually follow them, right? And he used to spy on them. This is actually from one of their Sahih hadiths as well. And he used to taunt Muhammad in the morning that, hey, I saw her having a piss, I saw her having a piss. And then very conveniently, this verse came down that whenever a woman, Muslim woman, goes out, she needs to wear a burqa. But at the same time, because they were having warfare, the burqa was obviously the thing that you couldn't be raped if you were wearing a burqa, right? So do you think those two reasons are patriarchal in covering up women?
What do you want me to say?
No, just tell me the truth.
Not just patriarchal. You've been treated as a prop as property, as a piece of property that belongs to somebody.
So then, lanat on the Sikh feminists who will actually go and kill themselves for their right to wear a burqa, saying that somehow it's being it's a statement of them saying down with the patriarchy, that wearing a burqa means down with the patriarchy, but that themselves would want to go fully naked into the presence of Guru Granth Sahib. You realize that hypocrisy down there?
Welcome to the real world.
The battles for Sikhi, which the Guru fought for. You know, they fought for Sikh dominance. They fought to free women from the burqa. You're saying that somehow wearing the burqa means down with the patriarchy. It's all a massive shit show. And this is where we need to realize that if we keep those battles simple for Sikh dominance, for Sikh supremacy, or Sikh expansion, we are not going to have any problems. If we are going to start liberalizing the reasons behind them, we are going to run into a massive bunch of contradictions that we will be never able to resolve.
Since you mentioned this, what's wrong with the patriarchy?
You know, interestingly enough, if you look at all the 18th century texts, if you look at the guru's injunctions, would you say that 90% of Sikhi does have a masculine ideal?
Well, of course.
Right? So,
The issue that bugs me is if you claim that this system, the social system, is oppressive, or let's say it's expired, what do you intend to replace it with?
see, that's the interesting thing. When Guru Gobind Singh Ji helped out anyone, you know, there was always that strategic quid pro quo going on. How many female leaders did Guru Maharaj actually even install? He could easily have said to Bahadur Shah, hey, wait, let's just go radical. Why don't you let one of your sisters take over? He never did.
Yeah, okay. That's back in the days. Currently, I want you to go to YouTube and search Ukraine female soldiers.
Right.
Bro, the women can actually freely leave the country, and millions of them have already left, and also millions of men have also left, yeah. So they're talking about conscripting women now.
Right.
And I've seen interviews, people just say, oh, it's not my job, my body's not designed for this, I cannot carry a gun, I can't carry the weights, tons of excuses. For them it's natural. But at the very same time, nobody is saying, I will challenge the patriarchy, I'll die alongside the other men. Nobody. It's very easy to complain about a system that has given you everything, and suddenly you claim, now down with the patriarchy. I'll give you a suggestion. For 1 week, just 1 week, try living without the inventions and creations of men.
There was a feminist back in the day. They had a documentary about her. She lived like a man for 3 months and then committed suicide at the end because she couldn't undertake the burden of being a man. If you look at the voice of Guru Gobind Singh Ji, right, we're just focusing on Guru Maharaj at the moment. You only see a few women at the forefront, only Mata Bagh Kaur, I believe.
There were some others, but not at that exact time.
Right. Yeah, they were warriors, they were military leaders, but more or less, Mata Bagh Kaurji was an exception. She like came riding in right when they least expected her to, right? They really needed her. She was on the battlefield. Otherwise, do you know what the fate of Sikh woman would be if they fell into the enemy's hands?
Rape and murder.
The same rape which our feminists today are indulging in for free.
Not just that, okay. I haven't heard any so-called Sikh feminists talking about Mata Gujari.
None of them. Because Mata Gujari, see, it goes back to this point. Do you think it was harder to raise daughters back at the time, as many Sikh feminists contend, or it was harder to raise sons at the time?
I would say sons because they had more responsibilities anyhow, and also there was danger of being killed.
The thing was, when it came to girls, you only had to worry about invasions. Otherwise, the culture was rigid enough to protect women. And, you know, hate it or love it, goes back to biology. A woman is able to give birth, right?
Bro, I'll give you another example, a current example.
Right.
You know, there are many mass shootings in America, yeah? You can just Google this. There are way too many examples of men actually covering their wives and girlfriends with their bodies and dying in the process.
Wasn't there actually a study done a while back that most of these shootings were done by fatherless lad?
Bro, you're running into a minefield.
I'm just saying, if it turns out that study is actually valid, that most of them were done by fatherless men, what does it say about a woman's ability to raise children on her own from the start? That's another thing. Your old man dies after you're born. He raises you for a while, like Bhai Taru Singh Ji's father, and then goes and dies. Yeah, that's another thing altogether. But if you're literally saying that a woman decides to separate from a man before the child is even born, when she's still got it inside her, and then she raises the child and the child is a defunctive piece of shit, what does it really say about the ability of a single parent family, especially a woman?
Well, just look at all the civilizations women have built in the past 5,000 years.
Yeah, they weren't able to answer that point on Twitter.
No, the thing is, these are hard truths. This is not some kind of misogyny or hatred or something. Well, they can call us many names. They usually do. None true. But these are just simple observations of life.
Exactly.
Patriarchy exists today because it's successful.
Exactly. 100%.
You were telling me that all the cultures around the world, for no reason whatsoever, were patriarchal, or the successful ones, for no reason whatsoever.
What I find funny is when they say that the gurus actually would have spotted smash the patriarchy because the patriarchy leads to conflict. And you're thinking that Guru Gobind Singh Ji gave us the kirpan for self-defense. So if patriarchy leads to conflict, What the hell happens to the five Kakars when you establish this glorious matriarchal civilization that is yet to exist?
I heard a joke from a friend. He said that the females decide to build a country for themselves here. Yeah? I think this came from the Icelandic female strike.
Yep.
And they say they couldn't decide on the design of the flag and the color.
Right.
It's the same thing. Like this is a joke from the Indian Army. They send a bomb squad to defuse a bomb, yeah? And yep. There are five wires. And so they say, okay, I need to cut one wire. And the bomb squad guy say, cut the green one. They say, there's no green one. Cut the red one. There's no red one. They said they had five different shades of red wires. So five different shades of the red color. They said, just leave the bomb and let the building blow up, bro.
See, so when we have Guru Maharaj's warriors, if you look at them, here's the little thing. With a girl, you only had to worry about rape. There was no randi bazi like today, right? No me pa, jana me, kar lena me, o kar lena type of bullshit which you have in Punjabi movies. With boys, it was much harder because society incentivized them to be feral. So you had to instill a high degree of self-control in your sons to be able to control themselves and not become feral.
Okay, one more point.
Right.
Think about your own village or the village of your parents or whatever.
Yep.
You'll find plenty of mentions of men who never got married.
Right.
Maybe your great-grandfather's brother or cousin or something.
Yep.
How many women never got married?
I think we just dropped a nuke down there.
Tell me.
None. All the women got married.
What does that tell you about the patriarchy?
See, here's the thing. Boy, Gurdas never got married. Nawab Kapoor Singh never got married, right? That was a big blow. He never got married. He never had the time to get married. He knew any woman who married him would become a widow. He didn't get married.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Think about it.
So instead, the comfortable life you could have under the so-called system, you just want to rebel against it. No, well, rebel is a hard word. You just want to complain against it. Rebellion means you actually have to do something.
And you really think these people who hurl accusations of performative solidarity at us because we don't support the latest degenerate Palestine craze, that somehow they're the same warriors as those who fought under Guru Gobind Singh Ji? We're not making the claim. We're not saying we're like them. No, hell no. We're not even their slaves. We're not even the dust of their feet. But when these guys do it, do you really think those warriors were bitching, moaning, and complaining, or they actually fought to achieve something? And what they fought to achieve was realistic and practical. Never anything that devalued or went against the benefits they accrued for C. Right? It's an interesting phenomena. So our request, basically to the Singhs, there is a new report from Punjab just now. One sister, Canadian-born, Canadian citizen, marries a boy from Punjab, brings him over to Canada, starts harassing him. She and her sister, they bring the boy back to India. You can see this. It's the latest report from yesterday. They poison the kid and kill him straight away. Right?
Wow.
We had the Beant Kaur Bajwa case. We had so many cases. So there's a warning to the Singhs. They can call you incel. They can call you toxic. They can call you misogynist. They can even call you a Hindu and an anti-Khalistani because they have nothing more left. This is the rule in the West. Wake up on Monday, whore around from Monday to Friday. Same, make that obligatory Khalistani post and all the fops are going to forgive you straight away that, hey, they support Khalistan. This is how stupid our system is at the moment. But avoid these people at all costs. because none of them know what the hell they're fighting for. They're going to pour acid down your roots. That's what the hell these people are going to do. They're not like the warriors they claim to be. One of these idiots actually made a statement regards to us as well, that we and our supporters, all of them, are incels. And that is why we usually go down the combat sports route, right? You see that? We are incels, and we do combat sports. And someone asked underneath, so what about the gurus doing combat sports? What does that make them?
Well, I think if you have no arguments left, if you're name calling, you already lost the case.
100%. So don't believe them every time they claim they're like the warriors of Guru Gobind Singh Ji. Those wars were fought for Sikhi only. These people can't tolerate that fact. If we are fighting today, we should be fighting for a Sikh first policy, not all this woke liberal nonsense that, oh, we need to do Sarbat Dapala. That Sarbat Dapala wasn't even part of our ancient Ardas.
Is Sarbat Dapala our responsibility, or is it their own?
Their own responsibility. It's about self-empowerment. That's what I don't understand. There's this massive contradiction they have as well, that Guru Granth Sahib is Jagat Guru. So when it comes to being the guru of the world, why doesn't the rest of the world follow it? Why is it imperative for the Sikh to go and die for the world that refuses to follow Jagat Guru?
I think that just gives them a good feeling.
That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah, we are so good that we'll die for others.
Right. Don't question our cause. Don't question if you're saying raise 40 grand in the Gurdwara for Palestine while people are still dying from the utter effects of the floods in Punjab. Don't question us, because you would be questioning Guru Gobind Singh Ji's warriors. That's what the whole shit show is about, actually.
Yep, in simple words, it is.
That's what it is. It's to shut down this question, this criticism, everything you can throw at them from a realistic and a naturalistic stance. That's what it is all about. By claiming they are one with the past, they want to add this sacredness to whatever modern degeneracy they promote and they follow, and they want you to die for, because they're not going to die for it themselves. How many of them do you think are going to parachute into Palestine? Not a single one of them. 100% guarantee that if the Khalistan wave starts, none of these fat fucks are going to be leaving their comfortable lives to go and fight out there. Hell no. They just want to add the sacredness factor so you don't question them.
No, bro. My battlefield is digital.
We are spreading awareness.
Yeah, we are doing more than you.
They've been burning their tails for the past 40 years for Khalistan, shouting everyone else, for Palestinians, for whatever else it is they support, but none of those communities have ever swung in to help the Sikhs. How many of them have fundraised for Sikhs?
None. I don't know any, do you?
Floods came in Punjab. All the Randi Rona these people were doing about the state not helping them. How many Palestinians raised money to help you guys?
Forget about the Palestinians. There are more than 50 Muslim majority countries. How many of them did something for us?
No one did anything for us. And that's what Guru Maharaj knew as well. No one at the time came to help Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj never expected any help from them in the first place. I mean, to the point, Gyani Gyan Singh and Gurdwara Khan, Ghani Khan, they were actually Sajdari Sikhs.
Yeah, true. Yeah, of course.
You can go through those pins. I mean, I know you must have been through those position of the Pathans were always Sajdari Sikhs. They just had to live in a Muslim majority community. So they outwardly, they confirmed to Islamic rights, but inwardly, they were massive supporters of Guru Gobind Singh.
Bro, there are people who still believe Bhai Madana was a Muslim.
That's their people, not their people. You see, when outsiders convert to Sikhi, they have more staunch faith. They have more staunch faith than Sikhs themselves. They don't support this degeneracy. There's a Rajput boy in Delhi who converted to Sikhi. From Mahesh Kumar, he became a Mani Singh. That's the name he chose. That's what he requested the Panj Pyaris to give him the name. Mm-hmm. He recently had a Nand cottage done, and they sent me the video. She refused to wear a lehenga, but she, re like, you know, if you look at Gyani Kartar Singh Ji Bhindranwale's marriage of his son, Bhai Amrik Singh, the wife has covered her whole face out of respect for her father-in-law.
Okay.
That's what this Rajput's wife did as well. That's what Mani's wife did as well. Right? And he was telling me how when they were in the Gurdwara, there was some NRI chick from Australia telling them this is all patriarchy and shit, and they just ignored her and walked outside. Another Nandakaraj ho gaya, they were happy with the simplistic life. They're following Sikhi more than we are following Sikhi at the moment. Jo poochnu agalai pai gala na ki down with the patriarchy. Males are suppressing us, males are oppressing us, the gurus were gender benders or whatever shit they come up with. You will find it nowhere in converts in India. You will find it nowhere in converts in the West. You will only find it within Sikhs who are born in Sikh family.
I think his geography points comes back the point of that Jat kid.
Oh, definitely. The geography point comes back even more stronger now than it did ever before. They're trying to fit in. But you know, something I've noticed is that three Gore took Amrit by reading her articles and conversing with us. None of them spot this. One of them is a woman. None of them spot this feministic LGBTQ or the BLM nonsense, which all these others are spotting. And they're in America. So interestingly enough, even if you're saying that you're using these concepts to convert them, it really doesn't hold any water. Right, so you're just cutting your own feet over here, and then when you're trying to bring history into it, that history is being attached as a sort of a sacred factor. It never was there. Those battles, again, I reiterate, were for Sikh supremacy, Sikh dominance.
Indeed, they were, yeah.
But even then, it's not going to go into their thick heads because there were all these idiots arguing that once we get Khalistan, we're going to send our special forces to fight the Israelis against the Israelis.
Imagine their special forces going to fight against the Israelis, and the Israeli commander claims, "Hey, I'm hungry."
Yeah, we will give you langar.
No, immediately they will throw away the rifle and open up the canteen and say, "Here, have some." People around Guru Sahib, where Guru Sahib lived, actually kill their newborn baby daughters by drowning them in milk.
Yep.
So, not just genocide. Genocide is carried out by a state, yeah, by a king or a dictator, or whatever. There's a word for it, female infanticide or something, something like that.
Yeah, femicide, infanticide, yeah.
Yeah, a femicide, yeah. These were the norms of the society back then. I already got some daughters, I can't handle another one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was no such campaign. Los Cruces have condemned all the practices, but if you want to free themselves from that society or that culture, you were free to convert to Sikhi.
100%. You don't go out and die for them. They come to you and convert to your way of life because otherwise the cycle keeps on going on and on and on and on again. You liberate yourself once. That's why most of these Jats, Rajputs, Kshatri communities want to convert to Sikhi, but our idiots aren't letting them because, oh, we don't believe in conversions. Right? The thing is, they want to convert. They want to get out of that system, and only Sikhi allows you to get out of that system. This is what I find funny when they say Sikhi is open to all. Well, all religions are open to all. So why are you putting a Victoria Cross on your ass for that again, please? Right? Why? Christianity is open to all. Islam is open to all. Hinduism is open to all. So what makes it special when you say Sikhi is open to all? Like, really, well, why? Why is it special?
No answer.
Hell no. When they say that all castes and creeds are allowed in the Gurdwara and Darbar Sahib, the ancient Sakis basically say that Guru Arjan Dev Ji said it's open to all the four corners of the world. After that, we brought in races. After that, we brought in religion. But this is what I usually ask them. So what about the shamanistic religions? That's a fifth religion. Do we need a fifth entrance in Darbar Sahib? And they're like, what? And I tell them, yeah, well, you know, the Native Americans had a shamanistic religion. The Comanches were borderline atheists, for goodness sake. What about them? This way we can count 20, 25 different variations of religion. So why only four religions? And then they're like, maybe Guru Sahib didn't know about them. Maybe Guru Sahib didn't consider them religions. Yeah, well, prove it. You're able to prove that there were four races, four religions allowed. Why are you? It's just reducing Sikhi to their own little perspective. That's what it really is.
Not even four. In India, we have Hindus, we have Muslims, we have Sikhs, we have the Christians, we have the Jainis, we have the Buddhists, we have the Jews.
Well, they've been
need
there
seven
before
doors.
Sikhi. Yeah, they've been there before Sikhi. So why seven doors?
Yep.
There is no end to stupidity if you start being stupid in the name of religion, if you start changing your religion for stupidity.
As we grow older, our beards will turn white, yeah?
Yeah.
So I believe we will have more authority because we have turbans, we got white beards, or whatever we say is the literal truth.
Okay.
That's the way it works today. You just need to have a particular appearance. If you have that, whatever you say is truth.
You just got to make sure whatever you say confirms to the latest white guilt trend in the West, and you have more than the truth. You're a god.
You can start your own cult, bro. That's what you can do.
It's stupidity. I mean, back in the day, Sikhs died for wearing the stars. Even a little bit of a leg showing on a woman, they would take off their dastar and cover it. And now they are wearing the same clothes which the Mughals forced Hindu girls to wear before raping them in front of the Guru.
Yeah, man. I think we had a word for them. S-I-N-O.
Sino. Sikhs in name only.
It's the same thing. I heard some extended family members, and they already claim that my great-grandfather was a Sikh. I'm British. Atheist.
But you know what? The shit show on social media, they got shouted down. I actually saw all these liberals getting shouted down for the first time in my life. Majority shouted them down straight away.
Do you believe as a person gets older and he, she gains more life experience, they are less likely to be a liberal?
Okay. Take a boy and a girl. Let's just say Sikh boy and a girl because we're Sikhs and they're liberal. From 20 till 35, should we say, they have a new partner. They fuck a new person every week or every day. They do a hell lot of shit. And then finally around 36, 37, they become religious Sikhs. They leave liberalization, liberalism alone. Don't you think that's hypocritical at the end of the day? Because even if they actually have authentic, valid reasons for doing that, that the damage has already been done?
Not just that. Once you become a parent, you suddenly realize what responsibilities you have here. Yeah? You have a little baby in your hands.
And people... Come on. These are the people who are arguing that their baby is born gender binary.
Well, they are, but... Let's say a normal person who might have some liberal tendencies. By liberal, I mean extreme liberals, yeah?
Yep.
Because these days, there's no fixed definition for anything. That's their play. Once you know that, realize that I'm a parent now, suddenly, this is what I observe. People change, man, rapidly. I've seen people's music that play in their cars and in their phone totally change. Their habits change. I've seen people give up smoking. I've seen people give up drinking, everything. I say, I'm a father now. I can't have these things around my children. No. Simple. They know it's wrong.
I think we're talking here about people who are so ideologically captured, there is no point in them even, you know, there's no point in them correcting themselves. The damage is already done.
Bro, socialists still exist. How many times have they failed? Sorry, you got disconnected again. Say again, please.
What do you trust these people who revert?
Not necessarily, man. No.
See, and that's the thing. You need to keep such people, such ideologies away. I mean, this is from your kids. This is what we actually made. Like, this is the point we made in that collateral damage, the, you know, don't let your kids become trans episode. They're just prostituting your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Once your kids go down that route, it's too late. Okay, if you're a woman and you know your husband has had 8 partners before you, are you going to marry them?
She might.
Actually, wait. If you are a self-respecting woman.
No. That's different. In this way, they might think that this person knows women. He's popular with women. So I have somebody. I'm marrying somebody who is wanted by other women. That's different, man. I walked in a bar. Try going to a bar wearing a wedding ring and see how many women hit on you.
I know what you mean. If you're a
that's called pre-selection. That's called that. Other women want this guy, so he must have something going on, right?
Okay. But jokes aside, if you're a serious, self-respecting woman, would you want to actually marry such a male?
Nah. Not necessarily, but then I always have this danger that I might not be his last.
Yep. If you're a self-respecting male, one of these accounts who's against us made that, I didn't know that the route to be an alpha or a better male meant being scared of your woman's previous sexual partners until then non-sexually hacked him to pieces, pretty much. It's a Sikh account as well. Would you, as a self-seek respecting male, repeat this individual account's claims that you're more than ready to marry such a woman, or would you not marry a woman who's had more sexual partners than you before marriage?
I'm immune to shaming tactics.
Hey?
I'm immune to shaming tactics.
But let's just say that for a minute. You are about to get married. You find out she's not a virgin. She's got tendencies to be sleeping around. Would you marry her and make her the mother of your kids?
Selecting or choosing the mother of your kids or the father of your kids is the single most important decision you will ever make in life. And for your answer, no.
Right? There you go. Do you think when the gurus wed their kids or when their parents wed them, they had the same criteria in mind?
I think they were looking for responsible Sikhs to begin with, and then afterwards all the criteria came into force.
So there you go, 100%, there you go. So why can't we do what they did when they told us to do what they did at the end of the day? Do you really think this whoring around we have going on for ourselves is somehow going to get us closer to Sikhi?
Well, okay, I'll give you one example, yeah? In Australia, which is called a nanny state by many people, there are actually, is commune a good word to use here? Little communities of like-minded people who are actually returning to conservatism.
Right.
They're getting married younger, comparatively younger, I would say mid-20s.
Yep.
They are religious. Well, of course, they are white, of course, largely white, yeah.
Yep.
And they actually want to live a normal life. I see them, I know some of them, and they said that we are tired of this. A lot of them came from broken homes, and they decided that I'm not going to repeat that with my children.
Right.
So it's very interesting. You see these things happening in front of you. You do see the pendulum swinging back.
Right.
Yeah, it's the thing. In Russia before the war started, for people had a little more interest in a little better image of that country, but people were actually moving there because of their conservative culture.
Right.
There actually some German. There was a full documentary about this. Some German families who actually converted to Orthodox Russian Christianity and moved to Russia. They had eight kids. And if you know about this, Russia already has a large German-speaking community back from the Queen Catherine's reign. I think that was 1760s.
Right.
Yeah. So these communities have already started. So you can see people who are just sick and tired of all this. They say, "I just want to live a simple, normal life. I want a good life for my children. This is the way to do it." They're still experimenting at this stage, but it works. They say, "What worked for my grandfather must work for me."
That's how it used to be in the bends back in the day. Sikhs were heavily isolated from others anyway. We had our own little bends. That's how we raised our kids. Sikh married Sikh. That was it. That's how it went. Even in the West, it's only when this liberal retardation started coming into us, this whole woke moral minority nonsense, that's when everything went to hell.
Well, if you're living in a country where the majority of people are not the way you are, or a different community, it's natural for you to mix with them. It's
This
very
is where
natural. You cannot escape this reality.
you have to start protecting your kids. You need to start making mini Punjab outside Punjab while we're outside Punjab. The day we return is another story if it isn't taken over by Christianity and the culture is altered. The way history goes, Christianity comes in, atheism comes in, end of culture.
I'll tell you one more thing, one more example of this. Do you know about Brazilian Japanese people?
That just blew my mind. Brazilian Japanese people.
Japan actually sent a lot of people outside Japan back in, I think it was late 1800s. So Brazil had a large Japanese community, yeah?
Yep.
Some of them actually returned to Japan. There's a large Portuguese-speaking community of Japanese people in Japan.
Yep.
So they actually returned back home because the Japanese birth rate is way too low.
Right.
That's happening in front of you.
Yep.
I think that there's about 2 million of them in Brazil, I think. The last I remember, might be more.
Yep.
So they actually started returning back home, quote unquote.
You have to. One day you have to. It is a part of life, it is a part of history. So that's why I say don't get heavily invested in all these Western battles. They aren't our battles. Focus on your people first. This is the Sikh first policy. Work towards establishing Sikh supremacy. Right? Don't give in to these ideologies. This is where we need to take control of Gurdwaras. This is where we need Sikh-only schools. But, let's face something. I don't even think it's really now possible for Sikhs to be marrying Sikhs, seeing how all this Western nonsense has infiltrated us. Might as well convert non-Sikhs to Sikhi and start marrying them. That's what happened at Nanded, anywhere outside, even in China. Sikhs never married back home. They married locally. And look at how, especially at Nanded, they're fanatical in their Sikhi.
Have you met Hyderabadi Sikhs?
Fanatical. If they, if I'm If an if a non-Amritdhari wants to marry within them, the whole family needs to take Amrit.
Yeah.
On the other hand, here in Punjab, if a non-Amritdhari wants to marry within Amritdhari family, anything goes.
They will serve alcohol, bro.
100%, 101%. And that's the thing. That's where we're following. We need to. Actually, you know what? Just be like MacArthur, sidestep all this fucking Western nonsense and start influencing people into Sikhi, the next generation into Sikhi. Take control of kids' hearts and minds.
In the pursuit of wealth or maybe more properties, what have you lost? Can you ever calculate that?
Yeah. Your daughter becomes a whore and justifies it through feminism. Your son becomes a simp and justifies it through utopian prioritism. And at the end of the day, what have you got left other than nothing?
No, I got a big car, bro. I got a huge property. Have you seen my house? 8 bedrooms.
Yeah, good luck taking it to such kind of... You know, your path to immortality is through your children. Why would you allow your children to become corrupted?
I think I repeated this many, many times. Water always flows downhill.
Definitely. You know, every culture, every religion has an innate sense of superiority that allows them to survive. So why is it that we Sikhs are sacrificing our own Sikh supremacy?
Well, people are involved in ideas, in debates. They're trying to forward their own cause. And for some reason, we are ashamed of that. Well, some of us are ashamed of that.
Yep, 100%. But the tide is turning. It's turning slowly. It is turning, and it will turn. Cancel culture is being cancelled. The upholders of cancel culture are being cancelled. One of the last things I want to say is that there is that Shabad Sok Yomandaki is Jameer Hajan. One of the feminists quoted that Shabad, saying that, you know, Sikh Renaissance is long wrong. This is how the Guru's respected woman. One of the accounts, do you know what they said to her underneath?
Tell me.
The Shabad says woman, not whores.
Well, that's a bit too much, but it means responsible women. No? Okay, that's a difference between free people and feral people, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, so keep in mind that that's the default. You are the exception.
101%, you are the exception. And the thing is, that Shabad doesn't give anyone a license. I mean, you read the Sokyo Manda Kijas Jame Raja. Literally, Guru Nanak is saying that a woman's value comes from her ability to give birth. Isn't that a slap on the face of feminism?
No, well, we're not disagreeing with you because you're a woman. It's because of your own actions.
100%. And that's what this abortion lifestyle they have nowadays, a byproduct of your feral choices and not a necessity, but you're actually making it harder for people who actually need them.
Yep.
Right. So if
you're hiding behind Gurban, if you're hiding behind Gurban, doesn't that automatically infer that you believe in Gurbani and then you're not following it, but you want me to follow it?
100%. And that's why the chimp out happened. That's why they chimp out when they're actually openly criticized like that. That's why they chimp out. They aren't the woman or the backbone of the punt, not these modern ones. Hell no. One of the accounts pointed out to one of them, you don't even look like the backbone of the punt.
Well, these things will come and go, man. People will disagree with you. People will oppose you. People will call you things. But if you know what you know, you just keep moving in your own way.
Keep moving in your own way. You defend the way you're moving in your own way. And remember, if you're a Sikh, you should be working for Sikh supremacy, not for these other causes. The people who are pushing you to support these causes, none of them are going to be parachuting on the front lines to die for those causes in the first place.
Do you know in the Middle East how many Sikhs converted to Islam because they had Muslim wives?
How many?
I know 3.
Yeah, even if you look at the Saki of Pai, Nandalal, he was married to a Sikh girl and then his whole family converted to Sikhi.
Bro, this is a weapon they actually use.
Well, down with the patriarchy?
Free Palestine.
That's all for today. Thank you for listening to us. We will be back. We will always keep on coming back. You can send us as many death threats as you want. That's all good. I mean, hell, you guys haven't been able to do anything about Palestine, so...
And? And remember, do not have permanent solutions for temporary problems.
To be playing the victim card tomorrow as well as today. Right, that's all for today. Thank you for listening to us. Until next time, Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa.
Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa. Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.